Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome. It is now time for Inside Matters, Spiritual Talk, Healing Done Right, Spiritual Growth, 12-Step Indigo, Meditation, and much, much more.
Happy New Year, and much, much more. Yes, it is I, Miss Duchess. I've been away for a while. I've been having downtime, and that's okay. I'm here today. We don't know what tomorrow holds, but I'm here today. And it feels good listening to Tarni give the intro and knowing that you are all out there listening to me and sharing my space with me and sharing my new year with me. Happy New Year. Happy New Year. Happy New Year. Happy New Year. So what do you feel you desire for the new year to bring to you? Peace, joy, happiness. With the turn of things and the turn of events out there in the world, it seems that things don't appear to be too peaceful. But, you know, as spiritual warriors, we can't lollygag and while away our time and all of that. Because we know that in order for things to get better, you've got to see the ugly. The ugly has to rise its head, and whether it's good, bad, indifferent, we know that all things must be revealed so that we can handle it. Because as long as it is hidden, you don't know that it's there. So, it must raise its head. It must come to the forefront. You know, it's like that healing wound we talked about a long time ago. When it's beginning to heal, all the ugly, gushy stuff just pushes up to the top so that we can just wash it away and wipe it away. So that's what we see happening now. And I attended a nice workshop this weekend. And it talked about the shadow side of everyone. And we all have one. It's just some of us, you know, our shadow side takes hold and it just exposes itself a lot louder than others. So let's see what we're going to do for the new year. How do I start my new year off? Well, I usually take a box of my oracle cards. Take a box of my oracle cards and I choose a card for every single month, 12 different cards for every single month of the year. And I'll share with you my card for January in just a moment. Let's talk a little bit about how I'm going to be able to do my show today. First, you need to know that Duchess had cataract surgery, so my distance is phenomenal. I have phenomenal distance, but now I need glasses to do reading. So I'm having to adjust from with glasses to without glasses. I can drive without glasses, but I can't read much small print without glasses. I have to put some glasses on my face. So let me start by saying I'm going to be reading some things and I may have to struggle through, and then I have a little bit of a froggy thing going on here, so I have my big jug of water. But let's get this show started. On December 27th, I had an opportunity to do a mini spiritual retreat with a spiritual coach named Zuri. I love spiritual coaches. I myself am a spiritual coach of sorts, and in order for me to maintain my spiritual strength and my leadership or my warriorship in this spiritual journey that I'm on, then I have to have spiritual mentors. Well, I did a thing with Suri, and Suri said that before you go into your new year, you need to look back at the past year and find out those things you've accomplished that you need to celebrate. What have you done this past year as it closes? 2019, what have you done to celebrate? And there are many things that you have to celebrate, and you need to make sure that you celebrate you. It's very important that you give yourself the glory of those things you have accomplished. And that's what I did. I wrote down certain things that I have to celebrate or I celebrated. Now, everyone knows that I lost my mother back in April of this year, of last year, April the 5th to be exact. And so I've been seeing myself go dip in and out of the grieving process, but also have things that I can celebrate. I celebrate the fact that I had 23 years of sobriety, and that 23 years of sobriety blessed me to be able to perform or be a participant in my mother's janazah, because I would not have wanted to do that if I was still in that drinking state of mind. I accomplished gathering the funds and distributing them for my mother's headstone. I've maintained my apartment. What else? I have put in an application for a job to be a peer support counselor for senior citizens who are struggling with opioid addiction. So there are a lot of things that I had to celebrate. Okay, there were some special things that I accomplished. Okay, and once I began to feel incomplete about anything, I had to let myself know that getting motivated to do things outside of my apartment was one of the things that was keeping me from feeling incomplete. And I had to realize that I had to throw away memories I no longer need. There were things in my apartment, memories for my previous ownership of Wahi Cooperative Enterprises. I still have workshop materials. I have grant proposals. And I need to dispense all of these things or some of these things so I can move ahead into my journey of this spiritual growth experience that I've embarked upon for the year 2020. So I'm downsizing my apartment because it's a much needed thing to do so I can lighten my load. And one of the things I realized as I looked at a saying of Rumi's on my wall, it blew my mind that I hadn't realized this in a while. That, well, Rumi says that your task is not to seek for love, but merely to seek and find all the barriers within yourself that you have built against it. Now, when I look at that statement, and I look at pictures that I have taken, I notice that I don't smile very much in my pictures. I may, you know, see a little glimmer of pleasantry in my eyes, but I don't smile. And I don't know if that's because I don't think I take a good picture when I smile, or it's because a lot of times I'm in pain. But for the year 2020, the new year coming, what I really want is to be happy. I want to smile more. And in order for me to be happy, I need to smile more. Because when I smile more, happiness is drawn to me. These are the things that I desire. I desire sober reunions. I desire gossip-free interaction. I desire judgment-free conversations. I would like to one day hang out with my daughter the way we used to many, many years ago. That was a relationship that I really miss. I love playing with my grandchildren, and I enjoy being a mentor, a spiritual mentor of sorts with them. So those are the things that I'm looking forward to receiving this new year. So let's see what my card for the year is. I drew the card called Winter, and this card is from the Magical Messages from the Fairies. So let's see what the guidebook says. The Winter card. This is my card for January. And it says, the answers to your prayers and affirmations are fully realized in the winter months. So even though winter is not my favorite season of the year, my answers are going to be coming during the winter months. Winter is a time of completion, and this card indicates that your desires are realized during these months. In the meantime, just as the animals and birds make plans for the season, continue working toward your goals by following your hunches and intuitive guidance. That sounds really good. Additional meanings for this card: take a rest, connect with family members and friends, complete a project, respect your body's needs, call on the fairies to help in overcoming procrastination. That's one of my biggest hurdles, procrastination. You're moving to a cooler location. Plan a wintertime holiday or visit. Eat cooling foods from an Ayurvedic standpoint of view. I can do that. I intend to do that, because one of the things that I desire to do is, once again, get my physical and my mental, my spiritual health in order, because there are a lot of things that are about to happen, excuse me, this coming year. And you know how sometimes we say we're going to work on our spiritual self, we're going to work on our physical self, we're going to work on our mental health, you know, and you get memberships to the gym and you do things and you just don't have anybody to motivate you. Well, you see, the first thing that I'd like to do is get my spiritual house in order. And in order for me to do that, I've embarked on a first Saturday of the month spiritual workshop with a group of people taking the same journey. So it's not like going to the gym and doing the workout for the physical body all alone. I'm going to have some spiritual light workers helping me accomplish my goal for 2020. Okay. When I say that, it calls to mind for me that folks in the recovery arena, 12-step recovery groups, they have this phenomenal thing called the 12 steps. And I want to talk about the first three. The first step is that we admit that we have become unmanageable over our people, places, and things, and that our lives, we are helpless, powerless over people, places, and things. And the second step is that we came to believe that a power greater than ourselves to restore us to sanity. Now, you see, when you become powerless over people, places, and things, you know, and your life becomes unmanageable, well, then you have to do some work to put that house in order. And how do you do that? They make a decision to turn their will and their lives over to the care of a power greater than themselves. And that power can be, oh, God. That power can be spirit. That power can be, if you choose, Buddha. But it's a power that you perceive to be greater than yourselves. Now, with that in mind, let us look at the beginning of the words. What is a decision? Now, a decision is an action word, and it is a beginning. It's a starting point, okay? Or looking at it from a point of recovering, it is the time we let go of our old attitudes and let the steps begin to build new attitudes in our lives as we make mistakes and grow in spiritual principles. So as you can see, being willing and open-minded is very important as far as a decision. And this third step, made a decision. Simply put, a decision is accepting this step into our lives. Now, there are many of us who sit there and we think about things we'd like to do. We just think about them, but we don't make a decision to get up and do anything. We just sit there and think about all the things we'd like to do, all the things we can't do. But then we take this step apart, and the next part of this step is like we must look at turning our will in our lives. So what does that mean, to turn our will in our lives? Our will is our way of doing things. It's our self-centeredness. Our lives simply mean our day-to-day affairs. Turning our problems or our worries or our pain over to. To who? To what? Over to the care of our Creator as we understood Him to be. Now, some of us could or cannot or won't do this. Well, here again is where we need to be willing. We need to be open-minded and honest. The type of honesty we are talking about here is self-honesty. We must be honest enough to admit that there is a power that is higher than ourselves. It does not matter what this power is. It does not have to be a god of someone else's belief, but it has to be a power of your belief. The important thing to remember is that it is a power, a creator, a god of your understanding. Okay? It could be the god of your childhood. It could be a force in nature, some kind of intelligence, or just a rock in the backyard. It is a power you and you alone have faith in. Now, let's talk about over to the care of. Now, that's a very important word in that statement. We made a decision to turn our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him, or that power greater than ourselves as we understood it to be. Without the word care, we change the entire meaning of the step. So, how about we have an example here for you? Let's say it's Saturday night and a parent or parents are going out for the night. The parents do not turn the child over to a babysitter, but they turn the child over to the care of a babysitter to watch and guide. When we turn our will and our lives over to care of our higher power or our God, we do this not to become robots or carbon copies of each other, but to have the higher power of our understanding watch and guide our will in our lives. The question has been asked many times, what is God's will for me? We always say that, what is God's will for me? What is my purpose? The answer is simple. God's will for us is to act mature and responsible to the best of our ability at whatever point of our life that we are in at the moment. God's will for us is for us to grow. If we act more mature, responsible to the best of our ability, the outcome of our situation will be as mature and responsible as it can be at that point in time. Now, when we turn our lives over to the care of our Creator, as we understand that Creator to be, one of two things happens. Okay? We either submit and grow, or we find challenges that we need assistance with. Many of us don't realize how physically, mentally, and spiritually bankrupt we are. So, when we take that step, we are restored to physically. We are restored physically. Okay? When we take that first step, we are restored mentally. And that third step, we are restored spiritually. Now, what people don't realize, if we don't keep our spiritual health in check, then what begins to happen, we begin to lose that mental clarity of space and time and of being. And then after a while, we just let our physical go by the wayside. And we need to stop that. We need to understand that there is a spiritual war of sorts that we must be able to be ready for. And that's when we look at, what's his name? Jose Stevens. He wrote on his Power Path page some words of wisdom to let us know that we need to be prepared. Now, what do we need to be prepared for? Okay? We don't need to go into the future with garages. I remember when, almost 45 years ago, I was living in Utah, and what the Mormons do there, we had freeze-dried food and preparing for the end times and waiting for it all to fall down around us. And when they were stockpiling food in the mountains and in their homes and in their basement. And this was 45 years ago. And after maybe 20 years of having this food around me, I began to use it. But 10, 15 years later, when I was low on food and needed to feed my children and I didn't have money to buy food for them, I went into that freeze-dried food. So Jose is saying, we don't need to go into the future with garages filled with canned goods, hordes of weapons, and stockpiled in ammunition, fuel, generators, and the like. Jose says all we need is the right attitude to be light on our feet and highly adaptable. And in this way, we need to be prepared for the coming times and coming events. So why don't we look at Jose's inventory here? Jose says we need to be prepared psychologically, emotionally, and physically. That is, it would be very helpful if we are emotionally stable and sound of mind. Now, when he says emotionally stable and sound of mind, he does not mean being addicted to opioids, methamphetamines, or any other kind of drugs, drinking alcohol to excess. You know, I mean, you know, you can go home after your job and you can just go ahead and bomb yourself out with the bottle, but that doesn't mean you're being prepared for your future. Okay? So, he's not exactly talking about those types of things as being prepared for the future. Being deeply depressed or highly anxious about the future does not make for good preparation either. Okay? So we need to think of ourselves as trained athletes, and we've got to mentally get there. Most athletes do not need to cart around a large amount of equipment. Their equipment is mostly their highly prepared body and their trained mind, with maybe some skis or golf clubs or a bicycle in addition. That is exactly the way we need us to feel. We need to have an optimistic and yet realistic and practical sense of what to do. So we're allowing our mental frame of mind to acquiesce, or how do you say, submit to the ills and the pains of the body, then we are not being our most athletic form. We go forward with a strong sense that we will make the most of whatever adverse conditions we run into. We know we may be in pain. We know we hurt. But we go forward with a strong sense that we will make the most of whatever adverse conditions we run into. At the same time, we do not take foolish risks, and if it's snowing too hard, we don't train that day. The main thing is that we have learned to manage our emotions. We don't panic under stress or adversarial conditions. We know we don't perform our best if coming from anger, vengefulness, fear of losing, trying to humiliate the competition, or other low-frequency motivations. We compete for the love of the sport, so we meet our life challenges with a sense of adventure. And because we love our lives and what happens when we are fully engaged, when we are passionate about our service, we need to be prepared spiritually. Being prepared spiritually means not being a baby about our relationship with our higher power, or being a baby about our relationship with spirit. You know, that thing when we get into whining and begging and getting angry with God or spirit when everything doesn't go our way or how we would like it to be. Well, this just won't cut it. These are all signs of grave immaturity, spiritually speaking. This is just not good preparation for the future. Realizing that we are multidimensional selves making free choices about our actions is quite helpful. Accepting and loving ourselves, even though we seem to not always know what we are doing, now that's an excellent approach. Knowing that we are always learning, even if the lesson is what not to do, is highly beneficial. Realizing that help is all around us just for the asking is critical to success, whether that help is in physical form or spiritual form. And that part about accepting ourselves, even though we seem to not always know what we are doing, when we accept ourselves, we accept all that we are, all that we have become, all that we always were, past, present, and all we have yet to be, with and without our pain, if pain comes with it. We have been finished with a warehouse of tools and all of that other stuff and a whole university full of advisors, cleverly camouflaged and stage props. The earth is a pharmacy. The universe is loaded with resources and medicines and helping spirits. We have an endless supply of fellow travelers on our path of life. Knowing how to ask for help when we actually need it is vital. Nobody does it alone. Nobody. This actually brings us to the part about being prepared socially. We need to speak up and ask for help, and we need to offer our services often and to those who could use those services. Now, you see, this is a guy talking. This is Jose Stevens. Well, usually I share things from his wife, Lena. She does the Power Path for the month. This is Jose's essay for the month. This is his. He's the shaman. Okay? This is a guy saying that we all need to ask for help sometime. We don't need to whine for it. We just stand up and say, yo, hey, can you do X, Y, and Z for me? You know? I need somebody to go for a walk with me today. I have a friend. She's a very dear friend. And she's 80 years old. She's older than me. But I'm not easily motivated. So I asked her. I said, you know what? I need to walk. I need to walk every day for 30 minutes. I said, could you do me a favor? I said, can you pick me up at 9 o'clock? Three times a week, Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, and take me over to the Walmart because it's huge in there, and let me walk, you know, so we can walk around for 30 minutes every, you know, three times a week. And she's 80 years old. She said, no problem. So if you need to find somebody to help you do that, then find somebody to help you do that. Don't let this procrastination or this wallowing in self-pity make you say, I can't do it today, or it's too cold today. I'm sure there is some shopping center somewhere you can mosey around without looking like you're going to steal something or you're shoplifting. Just walk around and just look at the stuff. It does your soul a lot of good to look at all the colors and to be focused on looking at things. How often do we pay attention to our surroundings? Most of the time we just walk around in a circle, going from here, going there. How often do we allow our eyes to take in the scenery, the sights, you know? And thank God for our existence, for who we are. So everything is reciprocal. We are not here to just receive and not here to just provide. We are here to consistently do both because life is more like a river, not so much a landlocked lake. There is always something coming in and something going out. Otherwise, there is always balance. Now, with that, next Sunday, I'm going to discuss how our friend Jose Stevens tells us, finally, we need to prepare to die. And this is not a joke. We are all going to physically die someday and perhaps sooner than later. what is the best preparation for death? Did you not know that you could prepare for it in a positive light? To learn to rapidly produce a state of gratitude and love, which in truth requires no thinking. So we're going to think about it next session, the next journey we're going to go on. We're going to talk about that, you know, because I'm going to tell you, I watched and I experienced my mother's passing. And you know what? If I look back over her life, she prepared. And I would guarantee that no matter how she left, she would have been prepared to go that way. Without screaming and hollering and whining and carrying on, you know. And she was very active for her age, 91 years old. I just saw, witnessed a video that she participated in. She made sure that she was present in her everyday. She was present. She did something to make sure that she was present, not depressed, not wallowing in self-pity. She was present for her life, her entire life. She was present. So that's what we're going to do. Next time we get together, we're going to talk about how to be present in your daily life so that when you do make your transition, you do it peacefully and be present there, you know, because we're not allowed to take the life, but we're expected to accept it when it comes. So how do we be present and feel that sense of peace and blessing as we make our own transition? So in the meantime, what I'm planning on doing is I'm focusing on this 7-month spiritual mentorship. Now, some of you don't realize it, but you can go to meetup.com. You can do it on your phone. You can Google it on your phone, meetup.com, and you can say you want to find spiritual groups in your area. Okay? These are not religious groups. These are spiritual groups. So they don't care what your religion is. You can practice your religion, but they teach you how to do things like meditate for your health, how to stay focused, how to ask spirit for assistance, the law of attraction, how to do a vision board. That's what I did this past yesterday. I was going to say this past weekend. I'm still in the weekend. So, my spiritual mentor is a young woman. She's young enough to be a daughter of mine. I think Uma's about 40. She's got young children. She's a spiritual advisor. She's a Reiki master. She does the readings with the tarot. She's just a very well-rounded spiritual person. And so she comes from many, 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 many venues of the spiritual growth process. So whatever field or area you desire to explore, Uma can either assist you in it or she knows who to send you to. So I call Uma. Uma is my spiritual mentor. Well, there's a lot of things I know about, you know, the spiritual experience. You never know, how do you say, you never know enough to say you can stop growing. And then I don't have, what you say, a point of focus. I love it all. So this past Saturday, yesterday, we studied the law of attraction. Now, if any of you remember years ago when The Secret, that movie The Secret, came out, it talked about the law of attraction and how we have to be careful what we think, because what we think we draw to ourselves. So if you think negatively, you may as well say, hey, I desire to live a negative life, because thinking negatively is what you're going to draw to yourself. Okay? If you can practice being grateful for every little teeny thing, even if you're in pain, even if you're depressed, even if you can write down five things you're grateful for on a pad, a piece of paper every single day, it will explode a difference of illumination in your life. Five things. I remember when I was doing that exercise every single day, a friend gave me a journal because I had heard that I had this abdominal aortic aneurysm. I mean, and like if it ruptured, you know, I could die on the spot. So I was kind of depressed about it. Well, she sat down and talked to me one day and let me know that she had a brain aneurysm that could rupture at any moment that was in her brain. And she told me that day, talking to me. She spent the whole day talking to me. But what it all boiled down to was I had to decide whether I wanted to live or I wanted to die. And once I decided I wanted to live, I want to live, and thank God I did, because I lived to see an African-American become the president of the United States of America. I happen to see, you know, these grandchildren be born. Well, I decided I wanted to live. She told me that I needed to start by writing down five things every day, that I was grateful for. So, every day. And we're not talking about just little things like I'm grateful for my breath, or I'm grateful because I woke up today. You can put that down. But I mean, get down to the nitty gritty, you know. I was grateful one day that I found a clean bra because I didn't have any money to do the laundry that week. I was grateful, you know. I found things to be grateful for. I was grateful for the penny that I found while I was walking down the street. Or every day you can find at least five things to be grateful for. And you make yourself find five things. Okay? No matter what your brain is saying it feels like today, you write down five things that you're grateful for. All right. So, what I did with my opening year is I enrolled in a 7-week spiritual growth mentorship program. That means I don't have to go to the gym and lose weight and be motivated to go every single day or whatever by myself. I have people that I ask to work with me. And so as a result of me going to this workshop, I realized some things. I realized that you learn, and once you learn it, you do it, and once you do it, you teach it. That's enough to keep you going for the rest of your life. Go out there and learn something, and then you teach that something after you've done it. So don't just go and fill your head full of knowledge. Get up and apply that knowledge. Go do it. Then find somebody to teach it to. And we must always understand that everyone is a mirror of who we are. You are reacting to yourself. And they are your trigger. You're you. So that's why in the East, they say namaste. When they say namaste to you, they're saying, I recognize the divine in you. And you say namaste back. So you're always looking at who you are in front of you. So however you're reacting to the person in front of you, they are a mirror of something you need to deal with in yourself. All the teachers in her sessions, I'm saying this for those who may be listening and want to partake of this training or this spiritual experience, she charges $125 for that one Saturday a month. Now, that sounds like a lot of money to people. But 1 hour with Uma is $100 if you want her counsel as a spiritual mentor or spiritual coach. This workshop for $125, we have access to her every single one of those 30 days. So that's $125 divided by 30 days. All day, those 30 days, anytime we need her. Okay? What did I learn? I learned that as my awareness grows around me, my shadow self will come out. Now, that shadow self is the self that I try to hide from people. That may be that negative nudge that we feel happening inside of us when we're alone and we're thinking those painful or ugly thoughts. But we are all souls on a journey. We are spiritual souls having a human experience. So, remember that saying? You're not just a human being seeking a spiritual experience. You're a spiritual being having a human experience. So remember always, no matter what frame of mind you are in, when you are at your downest and your darkest, that's your ego, shadow self. When you are at your height of lightness, that's your spiritual self, because spirit is not dark and down. So, when we follow the natural laws of the universe, you know, then we can remove anything that you may consider as superstition. And when we say always and never, then that means energy can't move. If you say, like me, God, I'm always having this pain in my back. Well, that means there's some energy that's not moving there. So I suggest, once again, to many people, get a massage at least once a month. Deepak Chopra does every day. He moves that energy. It keeps the blood flowing and circulating in the body. It keeps you from growing stagnant. The more you just sit there, it's like the blood. It's like a river in your body that is not flowing. All right? On my workshop, I'm part of a book club, spiritual books that I've read in the past, but it's time for me to regroup and read them again, refresh my brain, because I know that energy is stagnant in my brain. You also need to know that there's no sense in arguing with people. Just let people be. Because, you know, if people are committed to seeing what they want to see, then you're going to have to let it be. Because we're all right. You know, like they say, you may be looking at a 6 from your standpoint of view, and I may be looking at a 9. So we're both right. So just let it be. Let it go. And never ever judge yourself when you are feeling low. I mean, it's natural. We have our ups and downs. And don't be afraid to share those ups and downs, but you don't have to whine about it. You know, you're low today. Get that gratitude book out and write 5 things to be grateful for. If you're looking for a teacher, and I mean teachers, when I was in school, okay, this may offend some people. It's cool to have a spiritual or religious teacher, but to have one teacher over and over and over again, and you don't see the growth in that teacher. We can have many teachers. When I was in school, I had a math teacher, I had an English teacher, I had a social studies teacher. You know, I had a gym teacher. I had a teacher that showed me various aspects of how my life was going to be. And that's the way life is. There are various aspects of how you will grow as a human being. And if all you have is one teacher, well, then you're limiting your growth. So, and how do you choose a teacher? You choose the teacher by making sure that the teachers are doing what you want to do, not just sitting there listening to them, teaching you what you want to do. Okay? And everything that's happening can be changed. The other day I was with a friend, and I mean, I exploded. I was angry. I said some words. I mean, not at her, but I was just emoting. I was just, I was saying words that nobody has come out of my mouth. And all of a sudden, I sat back when I got home, and I felt so bad at how I acted and the way I expressed myself. I mean, this woman is a professor at the college and stuff like that. But she's a friend of mine. How dare I talk? And what did I do? I got my journal, and I sat down, and I wrote in my journal, and I erased the moment. We create our own reality. Did you know how magic that is? Sit down and write down what it is you desire for the day. The first thing in the morning, what do you desire for the day? If it's happiness, then write that down. I am going to be happy today, no matter what. And you know what? You probably will be. You know, meditation, pull a card, do some energy work. We create our own reality. Okay. I also learned this weekend that, how do they put it? Your issues are in your tissues. So, there are certain reasons why you have the aches and pains that we have. Because our issues are in our tissues. If you're having problems with your legs, that's the fear of moving forward. If you're having problems with your lower back, that's not feeling supported, not having enough money. You just don't feel that stability. So that's something that one can go to the library and explore. Check out what your issues are that are hindering your tissues, and if you start working on those issues, you may alleviate some of the anxiety you're feeling in your tissues. Always remember that when you're feeling heavy, that means you're not in your truth. But when you feel light, that means you're in your truth. The last thing that we did with my workshop this weekend is create vision boards. Now, you can do this on your own. You get some construction paper, or you get some, some poster board. And I created my vision board. And on my vision board, I created the Senior Olympics on one side, Since I was 40 years old, I decided to be a part of the Senior Olympics. At that time, I wanted to do track and field. I don't know that I'll be able to do track and field this year. I might have to do the swim competition. But every single state in the United States of America has a Senior Games or a Senior Olympics that we as senior citizens can participate in. You have 80-year-old women competing in the strength and endurance competition. It takes time to build your body up to that, but nothing is impossible. You can learn how to swim. You can learn how to do marathon walking, speed walking, or just you can learn how to... We can do anything we desire to. We just got to get up and get motivated to do it. Okay? So, I noticed one of my members online just popped in. And I want to reiterate that our issues are in our tissues. And I learned this Saturday that if you're having problems with your legs, those issues pertain to the fear of moving forward, and lower back pain, those issues in the tissues, that was a symbolic of not feeling supported or not having enough of whatever it is we think we desire or we need. And so on the other side of my vision board is all about Ghana, Accra, Ghana, and I've taken pictures of it, and I can send them to you. I'll send you a picture of my vision board if you desire for me to do that. And that's it. My vision board is my vision board. Now, what Uma did with all the vision boards is that she, I forgot what she called it, but in essence, she did a ritual on everybody's vision board to soup them up, to power them up. Before we even put our stuff on the board, she souped up with her energy. Like I told you, she's a Reiki master. She souped up our boards with her Reiki energy to make our boards more powerful than they would have been just from just doing them. Once we put everything on our vision board the way we desired for it to be, the next step was to have each person present their vision boards to the group, and then the group prayed on the success of the person's vision boards coming to fruition. So it was a group prayer energy sent to the person's board after they presented it. It's great. I'm looking forward to next month. Can't wait. It's going to be wonderful. Now, next week I'll let you know what the month schedule is, the topics for Uma's lessons, because like I said, I have her the first Saturday of the month, and our show will be the first Sunday of the month, and that's when we'll spend time talking about what I did the day before the show. So with that, I want to say I love you all very much. Stay blessed. Be good to yourself, because life is fantastic. And so it is. Thank you.